WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Representatives Josh Gottheimer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz tonight hosting a U.S. Capitol Steps vigil for the lives lost in the attacks against Israel, as well as those taken hostage.
When Israel and the United States need one another, it's moments like this where we step up, and it is actions that matter so much more. It is actions that matter so much more than words.
Israeli forces on the Gaza border, its military saying it's ready to invade and hunt down Hamas fighters. Hamas declaring Friday a global day of rage and telling its supporters to attack Israelis and Jews. Police departments on high alert across the United States. Majority Leader Steve Scalise quitting the race for House Speaker. His caucus had just nominated the Louisiana Republican to take over for ousted Kevin McCarthy, but Scalise failed to get enough party votes to win the job in a full House vote. This is ABC News. There is a verdict in the trial of two former Aurora, Colorado police officers tried in the 2019 death of a black man who died after he was stopped on his way home from the store.
Elijah McClain was walking along a street when officers stopped him, put him into a carotid hold, and he was unwillingly injected with the sedative ketamine. McClain died after cries that he could not breathe. The first two Aurora police officers to go on trial, learning their fate from a jury.
We, the jury, find that defendant Randy Rodima guilty of criminally negligent homicide.
Officer Randy Rodima found guilty of criminally negligent homicide and assault. The second officer was acquitted. Other officers and paramedics involved that night will go on trial over the next few weeks. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Hollywood studios suspending contract talks with actors, calling the gap between the two sides too great to keep talking. SAG-AFTRA strike is now 3 months old, all of that putting scripted shows and movie production in limbo. Andy Field, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
They are, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI's All My Relations Art Gallery, located at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Check out the opening of their new exhibit tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. and register on their website for the artist workshop at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Yes, yes, yes. And we have Robert Lilligren, the CEO of NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, on now. And what a great week of celebrations. And Robert, before we get too into it, congratulations. And I want to play a clip from the Lieutenant Governor about her week, and then we can discuss that and then talk a little bit more about what happened the last few days here in Minneapolis and all over the Twin Cities and Turtle Island. So if you don't mind, Robert, let's play Lieutenant Governor.
Sounds good.
Bonjour and happy fall. I'm thrilled to be giving this update after celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day this week as the official state holiday for the first time here in Minnesota. Indigenous people have always been here and will always be here. And Minnesota wouldn't be Minnesota without our Indigenous selves and communities. So Miigwech, Pidamiaye, thank you for showing up as your full, beautiful Native selves every day, making your voices heard and helping us all to make our community a better place. It was a blast and an honor to attend several events across the state to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. I began the day on the shores of Bede Mikaska with my family, the governor, and community to participate in our annual sunrise ceremony. After, I visited the American Indian OIC in Minneapolis to celebrate Indigenous voter registrations and the efforts to make voting a tradition. Thanks to this past legislative session, voting in Minnesota is more accessible than ever before and a powerful way to make sure that we are seen, heard, valued, and counted. Later in the afternoon, the governor and I joined the Indian Health Board to celebrate the future site of the Mananadiwewe Wellness Campus, a community healthcare center that will not only tend to our bodies and our minds, but also to our spirits. To end the day, I travel to Red Wing to celebrate the Wopato gift presentation of a mural from the Red Wing community to the Prairie Island community as part of their Honoring Dakota project. The event represented the culmination of the work between the city of Red Wing and the Prairie Island Indian community on a path towards healing. I was proud to be there to celebrate their productive collaboration and grateful to be with my relatives from Tinta Huita. This Indigenous Peoples Day and every day, we honor the rich tapestry of Native culture and celebrate the diversity and enduring spirit of our Native communities. Let us also acknowledge the legacy of boarding schools and remember the Native children who were taken from us far too soon. In their honor, we will never stop uplifting the Native traditions and customs and culture that these schools tried to strip away from us. That's why Governor Walz signed a proclamation declaring September 30th the Day of Remembrance for children who died while attending United States boarding schools. People need to know our nation's entire history, and once they do, it will change how we start addressing these issues. But despite our trauma, there is so much to celebrate about our people today. We've made incredible strides in representation across sectors, from entertainment to government to judicial system. We have record number of Native leaders across the United States. And in Minnesota, we've continued to build trust with one another, investing in Native language revitalization, healthcare access, housing, and more. And representation is power. And across the country, we're seeing the potential of Native leadership to enact meaningful change and protect our sovereignty. And that's why the governor hosted the 5th annual Governor and Tribal Leaders Summit in September to work with tribal leaders on advancing our shared priorities and move forward towards a future that lifts all people up who live here. And at the end of September, the governor and I visited the Leech-Lake Band of Ojibwe for our 10th government-to-government visit on a tribal nation during our administration. We met with the tribal council and had an opportunity to tour some sites that are a priority to the tribe. The most recent bonding bill included funding for the tribe's new wellness center. I look forward to returning and visiting once it is completed. Our work to improve government-to-government relations with the 11 tribal nations in Minnesota is happening 365 days a year, but these visits provide even more opportunities to build these partnerships and learn the specific priorities of each separate sovereign government. And as we gear up for the 2024 legislative session, know that we want to hear your voice. Don't hesitate to reach out to your local leaders or to our office to share how we can make Minnesota work better for you and for your family. Because when we work together, we can be best, the best state for Indigenous people and communities, the best state for our children, the best state for our elders, the best state to learn, work, and live your life how you choose. Miigwech, Padamya Ye, until next time, back over to you.
Hey, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. Wow, Robert, what a pretty powerful stuff there.
It was powerful. And it was great to see Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, my white sister, everywhere on Indigenous Peoples Day here on Monday. She gets around, I will say. So yeah, it was a great day. And good to see you too, Robert and Haley, around everywhere. It's so much event. Yeah. We just really have a community of plenty here, right? There's so much to do. You can't get to everything.
Exactly. Hey, and I want to give a quick shout out for, and I don't know if you can tell the shirt. I know our listening audience can't see the shirt I'm wearing, but I think we should talk a little bit about that. I don't want to cut into your segments here, but I really want to give a big congratulations to you and your organization. If you don't mind talking a little bit about the award you got.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you wearing the shirt. So for those of you who can't see Robert Pilot, he is wearing our bright pink Make Boating a Tradition shirt. We have a new color each year, and this year the color is pink. And I must say we're getting a great positive feedback on the color choice. And so Make Boating a Tradition has been around for about 9 years now, and it's a cross-generational effort to engage Native people, not just at the ballot boxes and in voting, which is, of course, important, but in the political process and in broader civic engagement of holding our elected officials accountable, engaging in policy change. And Make Boating a Tradition received an award on Indigenous Peoples Day. It was the Secretary of State's Community Service Award. and it is a national award, and it was presented at one of our events, our Indigenous Peoples Voter Registration Day. And our Secretary of State in the state of Minnesota, Steve Simon, came and presented it, said some wonderful things about NACDI and make voting a tradition, and really recognized the successes that we were having here. So for this National Association of Secretary of State's award, the Secretary of State had to nominate us, which he did, and it was just really an honor.
Yeah, congratulations. And Jolene is such a doer, and ever since I've known her and working with NACDI, she's just been taking no prisoners in a good way. I think she's really like the right person for the part.
Oh my gosh. So Robert's talking about Jolene Jones, who is our statewide coordinator for Make Voting a Tradition, and I call her our secret weapon. She has reached into community like nobody's business, and she has really turned folks out. And this year alone, we are ahead of last year for voter registration, and this is an off year. We have some local elections, like here in Minneapolis, and we're really gearing up for 2024, which, of course, is going to be in a huge election year. So props to Jolene for her incredible work.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And we're going to talk a little politics and the things coming up here in the next segment. Stay with us, please. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The Guthrie Theater presents For the People, an irreverent new comedy born of the Twin Cities Native community. In the play, April Dakota dreams of opening a wellness center on Franklin Avenue to serve the Native community. She's counting on a grant to make it happen, but when her presentation goes sideways, she's forced to make a decision that puts the community and her culture at risk. On stage now through November 12th. Tickets at GuthrieTheater.org. That's through November 12th. GuthrieTheater.org.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Native-owned, bringing us the best coffee that keeps us awake. Hey, Robert, we've got our last pair of tickets to give away right now for the Thursday, October 19th, showing at 7:30 p.m. performance for the people at the Guthrie Theater. Again, these tickets are for the Thursday, October 19th performance. So if you want to win this pair, go ahead and give us a call right now. The number is 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205.
Hey, I can't wait to see that play. A lot of great things happening all over the Twin Cities and all over the state and Turtle Island. Can't wait to see the play. And I think we're going to book West Studi on the show next week. So that'll be exciting and talk mostly about the play. But I'll be asking questions about Reservation Dogs because, you know, I'm a junkie for that, too. I'll just slip a few in there. But, hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren and... You know, we like to spend some time with Robert and talk over what's going on. And we can maybe just touch a little bit, too, if you want. Your busy day on Indigenous Peoples Day, too. You were running around as much as the Lieutenant Governor.
Not quite as much as her, but I guess I don't have the resources supporting me. And I just love how she was everywhere. But yeah, it was great. We started with the sunrise ceremony, Saya there on B'nai M'Kosta, which is one of the premier lakes of the city of Minneapolis. And a few years ago, went through a significant name change away from an offensive slave-owning Confederate officer to it's closer to its original name, the Dakota name B'nai M'Kosta. It was site of the Cloudman Village. And it's so significant and it's so beautiful. It's really my favorite Indigenous Peoples Day event. And then that circle gets bigger every year. And so one of our community members suggests that we set a target to have a circle that goes all the way around the lake. And so we're going to start figuring out how many people it takes to fill that 2 miles or whatever it is and get them there. So that was great. You know, we had the voter registration event. That was wonderful. The land blessing for our new Indian Health Board clinic. Yeah. It was gorgeous. The grass dancers who blessed the site. And the governor was there. The governor and lieutenant governor were at the sunrise ceremony, at the land blessing. It's a state holiday now, right? And
exactly.
So it was just for the first time. So it was really special.
Well, I know Haley was hanging out with me, and she was kind of blown away that the governor knew my name. And I kind of am blown away, too, because that's a lot of names he's got to learn. And I know he's been on the show a couple times, and we've been, you know, running into him in a good way for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah. Here. Yeah, he probably mistook you for me, Robert.
Yeah.
That's why he knew your name. But he's in the community, you know, and I might not always agree with his positions, but you got to agree he has been one of the most effective governors, both now that we have total democratic control over our state government, and even when it was divided. He got stuff done. He took care of the people. You know, he's a decent guy.
Yeah, we talked a little bit with Arvina yesterday, and I got to give a quick shout out to Haley for taking the rest of the show because I did the show live from Target Field, and we had Arvina Martin on, and we talked a little bit about what's happening in Israel and with Hamas and all that. It's just our prayers are out to all the victims, and these governments need to, or I don't even know about governments, but they need to, like, be peaceful and quit killing civilians.
Right. It feels like a real loss of humanity, right? What's going on there. And it's atrocious. It's upsetting. And then folks who try to use this really hideous moment where people are suffering and dying to divide us, right? And to kind of put us into different camps and different places when really we need to be coming together in love, peace, healing right now, and sort of just kind of tone down the rhetoric a little and come together as people and lift up our humanity.
Yeah, I just got to say, allegedly, when I say this to you, Robert, and you don't have to respond to this, but I'm just saying, if you follow the information, it leads back to Trump and all the secrets he had. And, you know, because they have that dome of protection and that was easily bypassed. And so, I mean, everything's going to come out someday. That's all I have to say. And you don't have to. Well, and it's a little controversial.
Well, I hope everything comes out someday, Robert. And I guess what I would say is, it's concerning enough that there are dots there that can be connected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So now maybe about the caucus, the Do Nothing Caucus here nationally. I've heard it called a lot of things, but I won't get into that right now. But Speaker of the House, what the heck? You know, these times in need right now, are we giving aid to who needs aid, our help, because we don't have a working government?
Right. I mean, it's so harsh and so tragic and so such an inappropriate time. If it weren't so bad, it would be laughable, right? It's comedic. Yeah. What's going on there? And a party with majority control of the House of Representatives cannot pick a speaker, cannot do the country's business because of that. It's a constitutional office. They need to have a speaker to do business. And so right now with what's going on in Gaza, and we need response, what's going on in this country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be as painful as the 15 ballots that it took to elect Representative McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. And so I don't know where the give's going to happen, but I don't see that caucus holding together with enough votes to elect a speaker.
You know, I like our conversations, too, and they're pretty straightforward. And I feel like mainstream media is just not got it. They're giving all this, I don't want to say publicity, but all this fake news or fake statements or not true statements out there, and they don't really call them on it. I mean, this was a Republican failure, not the Democrats. You know, and the Democrats voted the way they should have because, well, you know, of the way he acted after January 6th, and there's more and more things that it wasn't up to save the Democrats to save him.
Of course it wasn't. And it amazes me that the Republicans try to point fingers at the Democrats. And, you know, you have people like Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida and his ilk who led that charge and really partnered with the Democrats to oust McCarthy. And I think governing is the art of compromise, right? And,
yeah.
And this divided Congress that we have, it's just so little room for that. And I still feel like there's somewhere where there can be a bipartisan compromise to put a speaker in place and see some Democratic priorities lifted up and maybe rebalance the membership on committees or something. Because I don't really see 200, now it's 217, we're down a vote. They don't need to get 218, but I don't see 217 Republicans holding together. And the Democrats have no reason to divide without some kind of negotiation and compromise in place.
All right, I'll say it, the Chaos Caucus. All right. I mean,
yeah, hey, fair enough, fair game. You
what
know?
The and, heck? Yeah. You know, I mean, and it really, I say this over and over again because, you know, I do some business in Wisconsin too, and governmental stuff. And I am just so grateful to live in Minnesota. I always have been, but so much now and so lucky. And, you know, when we're getting out the vote and we're really going to have to push it again to maintain. And, you know, Gen Zs they're sick of this. And, you know, us boomers are dying out. They're outnumbering us. And that's good.
So save us, Gen Zs. Please save us. Only you can help us. And
we're trying.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity here to lift up states like Minnesota, Michigan, that have Democratic leadership, and how much is getting done here and how people are being taken care of. Right. And so that can be an example for the rest of the country, really. And Native votes are going to matter.
Yeah.
In many states, Native votes are enough to tip the elections, to decide the elections. So people actually care about our votes now and are seriously engaging reservation and urban Indian communities to engage.
Well, and I think with the two-party system, we have to live with the two-party system, but there's one party that I believe that will bend in a sense of be able to be flexible and talk about things, and then there's another party that's not. And I think you get the Democrats in, we can now push them in a direction too, I think.
Right. I mean, ideologues are not very effective governors. You know, they don't govern well, right? And now when you have a party who has mainstreamed white supremacy, has mainstreamed Nazism, it's should be terrifying for everyone, and certainly terrifying for Indigenous folks. So let's get them out to vote.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to congratulate you again. What a great... maybe next week we'll play Steve Simon, yeah, because that was right on. Cool. I didn't want to cut into our conversation because I really like to hear what you have to say. And we talk about a lot of different things. So thanks again, Robert Liljegren, for stopping in as usual. And keep up the great work. All right.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Representatives Josh Gottheimer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz tonight hosting a U.S. Capitol Steps vigil for the lives lost in the attacks against Israel, as well as those taken hostage.
When Israel and the United States need one another, it's moments like this where we step up. And it is actions that matter so much more. It is actions that matter so much more than words.
Israeli forces on the Gaza border, its military saying it's ready to invade and hunt down Hamas fighters. Hamas declaring Friday a global day of rage and telling its supporters to attack Israelis and Jews. Police departments on high alert across the United States. Majority Leader Steve Scalise quitting the race for House Speaker. His caucus had just nominated the Louisiana Republican to take over for ousted Kevin McCarthy, but Scalise failed to get enough party votes to win the job in a full House vote. This is ABC News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the...
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
There's fresh baked breads, cupcakes, and more, while the Pizza and Wine Bar has gourmet pizzas that pair perfectly with their 30-plus wines by the glass. Located off Victoria and Grand at St. Paul or at CafeLatte.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strongheart's Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Join Strongheart's Native Helpline CEO Lori Jump for a virtual event, Let's Talk Empowerment, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on October 17th, 2023. Lori will lead an engaging and enlightening conversation on the pressing issues of domestic and sexual violence within Native communities. This event will delve into the crucial intersection between these forms of violence and the significance of culturally specific services and resources. Strongheart's Native Helpline, free, confidential, anonymous, 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-7-NATIVE. Or chat online at www.strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, thank you. What a great organization and a great to partner with them again. Hey, before we get to our special guest, I want to just to get an update from the governor of Wisconsin. As you know, we're all over 20 stations in Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Network. So it's important for us to have the governor of Wisconsin give us a little update every week. So we're proud and happy to play this.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Building strong relationships with the Native nations that call Wisconsin home has been one of my highest priorities. As governor, I've been proud to recognize Indigenous Peoples Days and to issue an executive order formally apologizing for the historic role the state played in Indian boarding schools. And together, we've worked to advance projects to expand affordable housing on tribal lands, unveiled exciting dual language road signs that feature both English and Indigenous languages, and found avenues to diversify tribal revenue by permitting event wagering, along with many other notable achievements. I was also proud to sign a state budget that makes critical investments in the strength and well-being of Native nations and Indigenous communities across the state, through our child care and child welfare, tribal elder food boxes, and funding for tribal veteran services. The budget also includes conservation efforts and funding programming at UW-Green Bay, developed with the Oneida Nation to support STEM education camps and provide access to UW-Green Bay's college credit program for students. My commitment has been and will always be to strengthen our government-to-government partnership with the tribal nations and to ensure that experiences and perspective of Native people are always included and respected in our work at the state level. We have much work to do, but I look forward to continuing to work together in the years ahead. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thanks, Governor. Really always great to have your update about the great state of Wisconsin, our neighbor here in Minnesota. Hey, we have a really important guest on today, Shelley Belgard, and we want to jump right into this and talk about this issue the rest of the show. And I want to bring Shelley on and ask her, because we're all related, and I mean, when we and Haley and I heard what was going on with Shelley's family, we wanted to make sure that she got a voice out there and all our listeners. And so really appreciative to have Shelley come in and talk about this really tough subject. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you, Robert, for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Sound great.
Awesome. I just really wanted to say, you know, that it's important for me to continue to get my sister's story out. And I know that there's a lot of things that need to happen in order to bring justice to her situation. So we can start with what happened. I don't know if we want to give people some context. So what brings me here today is my oldest sister, Dawn White Owl, also known as Dawn Belgard. passed away June 11th in the Red Lake jail. She was brought in on drug charges, and she was very addicted to opioids. She has been for some time. And, you know, when I share this story, I always wanted to tell people that when I found out about my sister being incarcerated or put in jail, I mean, I felt like a sense of like a peace, like, oh, you know, well, this is going to be, you know, a way for her to get help. And that clearly did not happen in her situation. So I will just like start out by saying my sister, she died of participated withdrawals on day three is when they really got bad. And then by day four, the same day that she was taken to IHS in Red Lake, she was sent back to jail after being there for 2 hours and then later passed about 9 hours. And her health continued to basically decline in that short time. But what I also want people to know is that I want to, you know, see Red Lake Jail and IHS held accountable for her death. I had many people reach out to me from Red Lake and explain their concerns about, you know, my sister's death and how this wasn't the first one. And in fact, I was told, and I don't know the facts, but I heard that her death was like the fourth or fifth this year. So to me, there's a bigger issue at hand, and it's something that it breaks my heart to know that we're losing our relatives in places like, you know, jail, when you think that they would be given the proper medical attention, even if, you know, just there's this gap that I pretty much see, and it has a lot to do with, you know, people that are going in, they're not getting the detox and the stuff that they need, the medical attention. So we know that it can be very dangerous. And what had happened for my sister is she just had such a high level of fentanyl still in her system when they started her on the subs. So when she went into the IHS, they basically thought they were doing the right thing by giving her, you know, the subs, methadone, Suboxone. And clearly, that puts you into a really bad place if you do have a lot of opioids still in your system. In fact, that's what ended up essentially killing her. So yeah, just a lot of, I just have like a lot of questions of like why and how can we do better?
Yeah. So have any of your questions been answered? And I think that's, we need a call to action and things like that. So this doesn't happen to anyone else. Have they answered your questions?
Well, I know I was really disheartened by the FBI had an open investigation, and they basically ruled it accidental and not criminal. And I mean, I wasn't happy with the ruling, but I just, you know, when I heard of that, I was just like, so they're just accidentally killing people over there. You know, it's just okay. And then I found out that the BIA had also an open investigation and they were waiting for the FBI's ruling. But I can't imagine that, you know, either investigation, whether it's at the BIA level or the Fed level, I just don't think that there's anything that's screaming, you know, this needs to be changed. There's no urgency. We know that the numbers are there. People are dying, but there's no real, I don't know, call to action. So thank you, Robert.
Yeah, how can we help? I mean, this is a story that, like you said, allegedly at least that we know of, there's more people that passed away in the jail, and we don't want that to happen. So what recourse and what can we do? I see one of our listeners, Santino, is saying civil court negligence. I mean, there's that and there's a lot of other things, but I'd like to be respectful and to you and your family and get a call to action that's good for you and your family. What can we do?
I think we could bring like more attention to this situation. I mean, we have, you know, representation with our missing and murdered Indigenous women, and Every Child Matters. But I think what we really need to do as a community is think of similar issues like this happening behind the scenes that we don't clearly aren't always hearing those stories. And so for me, it's important to share her story, because this isn't just happening on Red Lake. This is happening across Indian country, and not even just on reservations. This is happening in just regular jails. So for me, it would be, you know, I don't know how we do this. I just know that they're not the training that I basically what I've seen from what happened to my sister is there is a lack. There's a lack of training and education around opioid and a response. I was really disheartened by some of the things that I had to hear in regards to my sister's passing from other inmates. But I have a first witness, her daughter. My niece was locked up with her mom, and my niece had to like literally plead every 5-10 minutes for them to take her mom, and they wouldn't listen. So that alone, you know, is just really heartbreaking. But that trauma was kind of experienced by everybody who was incarcerated with my sister. They didn't really, you know, move the women into another space. Like, they had a protocol, they didn't follow it. Mm-hmm. Another thing that really upset me was, as I found out that, you know, when she was found unresponsive, all the women in the jail were brought into the holding space where she was on a mat, pretty much already, you know, not breathing. And it was the other women at that time that like notified the guards and the nurse that, you know, hey, you need to get in here. And from what I was told, the security guards of Red Lake Jail didn't know how to perform CPR, and the nurse stood by and watched. They basically performed, yeah, a little bit, and then they called it quits. There was no life-saving measures done, no defibrillator, no Narcan, no nothing. So I just feel like they could have done better if they actually had a process up.
Well, that's interesting. I think maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, because, again, drug addicts, Native Americans are treated subhuman, and we really need to talk about that. And let's talk a little bit more with that. We're with Shelley Belgard, and she's really speaking courageously about situation with her sister up in Red Lake Jail, and we're going to talk a little bit more. So this is, like Shantia just said, this is unacceptable, and so let's talk more about this. We appreciate you speaking your truth, and we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333 are able to select language options at the start of the call. Access Next Trip, their automated real-time schedule information tool, and other Metro Transit assistance by calling 612-373-3333. For more information about other transit informational tools, visit metrotransit.org/tools.
In recognition of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, this message is brought to you by Strong Hearts Native Helpline, a culturally appropriate domestic and sexual violence helpline for Native American and Alaska Natives. Advocates provide free support and advocacy 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483, that's 1-844-7-NATIVE, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org. Safe, anonymous, confidential, 24/7.
Join Twin Cities Quorum as they celebrate their 30th annual National Coming Out Day Luncheon. This inspirational and transformational event gives voice to the power of living openly, honestly, and with authenticity at work, in our families, and in our faith and across our lives. The realities of living an authentic life are deeper than just being out. We all have many layers of identity, and we must work together to create a world where people can bring their whole self to everything they do. The National Coming Out Day Luncheon serves as a celebration of who we are individually and together. Reserve your tickets today for Friday, October 13th. This year's National Coming Out Day Luncheon will be at the Minneapolis Convention Center in Minneapolis. The Marketplace Expo opens at 10 a.m., and the luncheon will begin at 11:45. Tickets are available to members for $60 or non-members for $75. Learn more and purchase your tickets at TwinCitiesQuorum.com on the events page. That's TwinCities, Q-U-O-R-U-M.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Good one. Hey, we are here with Shelley Belgard, and we are, Haley and I were messaging back and forth, and Haley, share with what you messaged me, because I agree 100%.
Yeah. Well, Shelley, I just got to say big pina gigi for coming on here and speaking your truth with us. I know I met you for the first time out at the Four Sisters Farmers Market a few weeks ago. And same thing, you know, you were telling us a story that you're telling all of our listeners right now. And I seriously remember just sitting there like tears in my eyes. And, you know, I just could not believe that that was the first time we had been hearing about this from you. You know, and not hearing about this on the news or anything like that, especially if there was, you know, other victims that this has happened to specifically at the Red Lake Jail or, you know, other tribal jails in the country or in the state. But I mean, no Narcan and no one knowing how to do CPR. I mean, who do they have in these jails to work? I mean, who are they employing?
That is a great question. You know, I want to believe that they have, you know, training. Like, there's a part of me that wants to believe that, but we didn't see it. And I have to like wonder if she was just being treated as a drug dealer. I mean, like, we all know that when you get arrested, they see you and view you as a criminal. But I think like with her, I think it was a little bit different. Not being from Red Lake, we're from North Dakota, so we're affiliated with Standing Rock, Turtle Mountain, and MHA. But we grew up around up northern Minnesota, around Red Lake. So I've always, you know, thought of my fellow Red Lake members as like extended Teoshpa'i, right? They were our family, and they were like the only natives that we were really close to. Well, and White Earth, I should say. But, you know, I think the real issue here at hand with even with addiction is not seeing them as addicts. So I'm going to kind of like bring my little holistic health practitioner and healer side through now, and just know that we have work to do. A lot of our people struggle with this, and a lot of other relatives that are non-Native struggle with this. But I guess what I want to try to get at here is addiction. When you look at somebody as whole and complete, a very holistic way, you understand that, you know, addiction is just it's one of those things that manifest, and it manifests from pain and trauma that's like buried. And so when I look at our relatives that are struggling, I look at it as our relatives just need healing. They need to go deeper. And a lot of the time it requires a lot of inner work, and it's not an easy process, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. But I think that we need to really begin with looking at our relatives that are struggling with this as whole and complete, and then go from there and unpack some of that trauma.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, treating people as people, meeting them where they're at, our trauma it runs so deep, and other people's trauma too. I mean, I've been sober coming up here on 39 years, clean and sober, no drugs, no alcohol. And there was there's a lot of things going on. I've seen people not make it, and a lot of it has to do with not dealing with their trauma. And you're as sick as your secrets, and we need to have our hands open and have people have it be normalized that healing's okay.
Absolutely. And we all can use a little bit of healing in our lives.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. So we got like another 5 minutes or so on the show here, but I really want some sort of call to action where we can do something to help in this situation. And what is your suggestion? To call Red Lake to do some of your own, investigation? What can our listeners do?
That's a great question. I think, a call to action to really, I would love to see one happen in Red Lake, where we go out there as a community and just kind of show our concerns. Because I just feel like what I've experienced is, I just feel like when I did try to get my sister's story out. So there was a few news platforms that I utilized, but what I experienced was, the tribe coming back and trying to, paint this as a picture of, these are big time opioid drug dealers who are going to release fentanyl in our community. So I know that I wasn't met with, any compassion or understanding around my sister's death. And I really think the leaders in Red Lake need to probably see us physically. Together.
Yeah, that's a really good thing too. And they've had all this publicity lately with their marijuana and stores and things like that. And it's good for economic development, but we also have to follow through in a good way. How are we treating our relatives and meeting people as people in where they're at? There's no such, I taught high school for 30 years and there's no such thing as a bad student or bad person. You have to meet them where they're at. And there's things that have happened over the years that have affected people, and we have to be more compassionate, and we have to just can't come in there with guns a-blazing and with just general blanket statements and feelings about people. So, I mean, if nothing else, our listeners can be reminded of that, because I know we have a lot of compassionate people listening to this show. And this is a hard show, Shelley. This is really, but we need to talk about the healing and what our community can do better, and the whole community.
Yeah. And I always envision this a beautiful, holistic residential inpatient treatment facility. We need something like that for our families. We really do. And if I ever get the chance to, I would definitely open one in honor of my sister and her Indian name. Her Lakota Indian name was a woman who walks in good health. And I don't have it written down, so I can't say it in Lakota, but I will say that I would definitely honor her and lift up and try to help as many relatives who are struggling with the same thing that she struggled with.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'd love to have you on again and get updates and keep this in the forefront of our listeners' ears and remembrance. And this was a person. And the other people that were there are people that had families that are connected, and they need to be remembered. So I appreciate you coming on, Shelley.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Robert.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Wow, Haley, heavy show, but definitely well worth it. I mean, people going through things that are unimaginable for us. So great to have Shelley on and talk her truth and her story to us.
Absolutely. And thank you, Shelley. Pina Gigi.
Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance from Chief Plenicoops, the ground in which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Now.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media.
Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.